Check, check. All right. Good morning, church. Will you guys stand with me? How many of you guys are enjoying the cold weather?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? A few of us? We had an interesting week starting last weekend. So Sunday morning, we wake up, and it was a little brisk in the morning, let's just say that. And I come to find out our furnace is went out. It's not working. And so just hoping it's going to be a quick fix, hoping we're going to get it done and whatnot. And it doesn't turn into a quick fix. We actually went without heat for, I think it was 3 nights. And you know, I mean, we were fine. We bundled up and we had blankets and eventually we had a heater, like little space heaters and whatnot. How many of you guys know how grateful I was? It was Thursday morning. I went out to coffee with Pastor and I got home and I walked into a warm house. it was just the heat hit me as I opened my door. I was like, wow, like, praise God. Here's the thing though, is that maybe not Nancy, but if we really wanted to, okay, if we really wanted to, my family could have adjusted to living in the cold. If we really wanted to, right? We could have just gotten, this is our new norm. We're going to wear sweaters and snow pants and beanies and gloves during the winter, and we're going to be fine if we really wanted to. As ridiculous as that sounds, a lot of us, this is what we do in the spirit. Like, I wasn't willing to adjust to the cold. No, I needed heat. I needed that sweet, sweet presence of heat as I slept and as I woke up and as I, when I came from the cold to the inside. So in Exodus 33, there's this verse or a couple of verses where Moses is talking with God. In verse 33:12, it says, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here." Moses is saying, God, I am not going to the promised land if your presence is not with me. I am not going to adjust to the promised land if you're not there, right? Just like I'm not willing to adjust to living into a cold house without heat. We're going to have heat. I'm going to have the presence of heat. So this morning, what I want us to revisit in our minds, revisit in our spirits, is have we adjusted to a cold spirit, if you will? Have we adjusted to just, you know, we haven't actually realized that our thermostat of our heart has been broken for a minute. And that we haven't actually taken an assessment of God, has your presence actually been on me and in me recently? Or have I just adjusted to the cold? And I've just put on another sweater, and I've just put on a beanie, and I just put on some gloves. And how am I doing? Praise God, I'm doing just fine. When no, you're not, you just adjusted to a new norm that God doesn't want us to be at. Are you guys with me? So as we worship this morning, let's just invite Holy Spirit. Let's just invite the presence of God to just put us on like a glove. Let's just invite the presence of God just to enter our hearts. Let's just invite the presence of God to come over us like a wave, to just crash over us like a wave. God, we thank you today that you are here in this place. We thank you this morning that we get to worship your name, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God. We thank you today that we have a house of God that we get to come into and we get to worship you, God. We thank you today that your presence is here, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for anybody in this place, God, that is hungry, that is going after after you, that is thirsty after you, God, Lord, that you would meet them, God. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, to enter this place, God, to enter this place more than you already have, God. We thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you are ready to meet us. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would ready our hearts to meet you. I thank you, Lord, that you're meeting the needs of your children. You're meeting the needs of your children in the physical. You're meeting the needs of your children in the spiritual. And God, I just ask today, God, that we would not leave this place the same. God, that we would not just go through the motions. We would not just do what we did last Sunday. Lord, we would do something new today, God. God, we ask that the Spirit of God, that the temperature of your Spirit would be turned up this morning, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you're faithful to meet us right where we are. And I just thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Let's worship, church.
Precious. I'm a lame. us have gone through life, people speaking over us things that are not true, telling us we don't measure up, we should be ashamed of who we are, we should be ashamed of where we came from, telling us that we're never going to amount to nothing. You know what, people? That's lies of the enemy that people don't realize they're speaking over us. And they come from the people who should love us the most. And they also come from people who are jealous that we have Jesus. And they can't understand why we can still thrive no matter what they say. Jesus made the dust. That's why he can find us in it. Those lies that people spoke over us are not truth. And they will not separate us from his love because he created us and he loves us. And he will always find us. All we have to do is reach out in spite of what's been spoken over us, done to us, thrown at us, people trying to bury us. That's not truth. The truth is we are God's children. And he wants to hear from us in our ugly, in our pretty, in our praise, and our tears. That's all he wants is for you to say, Lord, I'm here. Find me. Because I can't see you right now. I can't hear you right now. And he will always be faithful and come and find you. All you have to do is be ready for it. Because when he finds you, baby, you're on a roll. He has got something for you. He's going to take you on a journey that you never expected. And he's going to lift you above all those lies. And he's going to help you to walk in him and in his truth that you are his child. And he has never left you. We're the ones who've left. So just open your heart and open your mind. Lift your hands and say, Jesus, come find me because I need you.
Been told. of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6 says, "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord." How many of us know that flame or fire, it means that there is a cleansing that can happen there? That if there's the fire of the Lord within us, that can bring about healing, and there can bring about power and a cleansing. But a lot of times when we feel that fire, we get really afraid, don't we? Like, it's hot. Like, it burns. But if we're not willing to allow that flame to burn up the stuff in us that is not of God, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? This week, my heart has been so touched about how close and deeply close God wants to be to me. He is very jealous for me, for my time, for my love, for opportunities to move in me and to work through me. He is very jealous of my time and my love and my heart and my passion. But if we're not willing for God to get that close to us, it's like we're just going through motions of life. And y'all, I've been around the sun 60 something years, and I'm going to tell you, it's not worth it to play church or play religion or play relationship. It's not worth it. This is not a game. And it's not a joke. You know, in the times of the old, in the Bible, they were so sure God was coming. Like, they were like, oh, he's going to come anytime. Well, we know that didn't happen, right? But didn't it? They met death just like we do. They lived life just like we do. Didn't he come for them? And what did they stand in front of him and say to him? Oh, I thought you were coming. I didn't know, like, you know, I'd be standing up here like death took me, and I'm standing here, and what do I do? Let me just say, guys, let's not be caught unaware. That's what Scripture says in the New Testament. Don't be unaware. Be very, very sure of the love that God has for you. And if you're not, you're the only one that can remedy that. You with God. So as we go about today, I just encourage you, let intimacy be an active word in your life when it comes to God. It doesn't mean you have to be in this building or any other building. It means that in here, where it all counts, deep in your heart, let intimacy reign with God there. And everything else will come about. Amen? So we're going to go and greet everybody and say, hey, there's coffee, there's hot water for tea and chocolate. Help yourself to the coffee bar. Greet one another with love in your heart. Let our brothers and sisters encourage us as we go and we say, hey, and hug. This week is Thanksgiving week. Let's be thankful for what we have. Amen? Amen. Yeah.
I know. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. If you can hear me, give me a thumbs up. Yeah. All right. I love that. Okay. So we're going to get ready. Is something making music? Oh, I think that's your pad. Okay. There's music happening up here, guys. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but I can. I think it's your iPad. I'm very distracted. Sorry. Okay, so we're about to do a declaration, but for those of you who are new to us and haven't been around us as much or even at all, I just want to give you guys an idea on declarations and why we do them. So like when we declare things, like God spoke our world into existence, right? He used words to form us in our world. And so he talks about how there's power of life and death in our tongues. And the way that we choose to speak about things makes a difference on how things respond to us, right? Or even our bodies. Like when we speak negatively about ourselves, our body begins to carry that weight and we look deformed or become sick, right? So we, like as a house, decided that we wanted to make declarations not only over our city, but over us as a people, as our community. And so today I want to do the declaration of the house. Just to put it out there, like this positive speaking about who we are and really getting our spirits and our bodies to align with what our spirit knows. So if you guys will stand with me, we're going to make these declarations, put it out there in Jesus' name. On the count of three, one, two, three, I declare that God
is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church. That we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind, and we declare that we are reaching Yakima
one life at a time. Yes, Lord. We give you the glory, Father. We thank you, God, for the work that you're doing in our house, in our city, in our hearts. God, we just give you all the praise. We say thank you, Father, for the things that we see you doing and the things that we don't. Lord, we just give all of our distractions to you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I have a couple announcements for you today. One being the Lord's Supper is tonight, you guys. Woo! We're so excited to just have communion with you guys, to be able to fellowship with you, eat some good grub that, you know, Mama Gigi's put together. And just come, bring a friend. It's 5:00, right? Yeah, it's right here. Tonight at 5, bring a friend or some family, and you don't have to bring anything else, just yourself and a hungry stomach, all right? Awesome. And then we have men's breakfast, which is coming up December 2nd at 8:30 in the morning. And is that at OLFW? Is that here? Okay. Just want to make sure that's here at One Life Family Worship. Just make sure it says 2, like the dash, like it's supposed to go from 8:30 a.m. to, and that kind of threw me off. So I was like, I don't know what that means. But yeah, so men's breakfast, men, bring a friend. Again, come fellowship with the men, get to know each other, have good fellowship with the Lord, and it'll be good, right? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. All right. And then tithing. Oh, you will have a guest speaker? He says he'll have a guest speaker. There you go. All right. So giving, you can go to onelifefamilyworship.com, click give. It'll walk you through. Otherwise, if you're old fashioned, you can put an envelope in the little box. So Jesus, we just thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our service today. God, I thank you for the word that you put on Pastor's heart. Father, that we would, all of us would leave here changed and different minded than when we came. And we just give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is this your coffee? And your phone. Cool. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I've been communicating about the idea of equipped for war, equipped for battle, equipped to fight the good fight of faith. And this is part two. And as you see there, it says Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And I thought I would get through maybe like three verses in part one, got through one verse. And I thought, okay, well, we'll get through three verses in part two. No, I'm going to get through one verse. So it's because the word is full of truth, folks. That's why. If I was just going to, you know, just rush through it, I think you're going to miss the depth of what the word says about this particular verse. So let's go ahead and look at it. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, I'll read it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So today we're going to focus on verse 11. Last week we talked, well, I guess you shared last week, really good word, but the week before I was sick. Praise God, I can talk again without sitting there going hoarse. Amen. But we went over verse 10 previously. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And if you're interested in those truths, you can go to our website and you can click on the date, which is 2 weeks ago, and you can listen to it. Or I don't think that one got on YouTube, did it, Jesse? That's the one we missed on YouTube. So you can... It's online. You can get that one online. Usually you can get our messages on YouTube under One Life Family Worship. So today is put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now we're going to go over the whole armor of God, so I'm not going to focus on this particular part today. But I do want to say that I think it's interesting that Paul in those 10 verses mentions about putting on and taking up the armor of God twice. And we know that out of the mouth of two witnesses, every word is established. So he's making sure that we understand that that this arsenal, these weapons, are important. But today we're going to focus on this, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's the reason that we wear the armor, is to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If you think about it, it's like... This armor that Christ has given us, because it's from Christ, it's the Holy Spirit. It's not like we actually put on a physical helmet of salvation, but we have Christ's salvation in us, living in us, abiding in us. We have his righteousness living and abiding in us. And as we go over all those attributes, we'll see how they pertain to our life and how they're transformative. They're not just there to just protect us, they're to transform and change us so that we're not the same people. But it's so that we can be able to stand against what the devil's up to. That's reminding me to preach. I'm praying before I preach. So let's do that. Father, we do. We lift this word before your throne right now. Lord, we thank you that you are the author of your word. Lord, you have inspired holy men, Lord, to write these words down, but you are the author of them, Lord. You have inspired them, Lord. You have given us these words that we're going to go over, and they're meant to transform and change and renew our minds. So, Lord, we submit ourselves to your word today. We ask that you would do your work in us that you need to do with this word. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint my lips, that you would give me the words to speak, and that, Lord, that the truth that you have given for this day and this hour by the Holy Spirit would be released. In Jesus' name, amen. The wiles of the devil, that's a King James word. The wiles. What is the wiles? Well, we'll go over that. Has anybody ever watched The Roadrunner? Roadrunner. I hear that they're actually making a movie about that, potentially. Jesse was telling me. I think that would be hilarious. But anyway, the Roadrunner, it was about this Roadrunner bird that would run down the street, run down the highway, run down wherever he wanted to go. And he was fast, and he had a coyote that chased him. And he used these Acme kits that he would order. And they were supposedly supposed to help him trap this roadrunner, but they always came back on him. So Wile E. Coyote was his name. So he was trying to be crafty. He was trying to be trickery, and it always ended up back on him. And I believe that there's a truth in the roadrunner, that if we submit to God, those trickeries that he tries to put on us come back on him. Amen. What he tries to cause to be defeat to us causes defeat to him. But we have to make sure that we're allowing Christ to work in every situation. That we're not letting our own minds, our own thoughts captivate us to the place where what he wants to do succeeds, because we don't let God change the outcome. All right, let's look at this word wiles. In Ephesians 6:11, in the NET, it says, "Clothe yourselves with the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." So it's another word, schemes, plans. Plans that are basically strategically laid out. I don't think the devil does things haphazardly. I mean, when he came to Jesus and tried to test him in the wilderness, we see that he had a plan. He tried to work to the place where Jesus would submit to his lies and his deception. Fortunately, and praise God, Jesus never did, and he put the devil in his place. And after that, he says, "The devil has nothing in me." He tried, but he failed. New Living Translation says this way, "Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm." So standing against is also standing firm. What does it mean? It means to stand. It means to hold your ground. It means to not let the enemy push you back to the place. And usually when we're pushed back, we're usually, I mean, if this is God and we're close to God and the enemy pushes us back, what happens? We're struggling in our relationship with God. And we'll see that a little bit later on. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies. All strategies. It's not just one, not just two. When we have God's armor, when we have Christ, I want to make sure I'm saying this is Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. When we have him working in us and we give him availability to our life, all the strategies of the devil we stand against. Thank you, Lord. That's good to know. The Complete Jewish Bible puts it this way, and I like this. Use all the armor and weaponry that God provides so that you will be able to stand against the deceptive tactics. The deceptive tactics of the adversary. Another word for the devil is adversary. What does that mean? He's coming against you. It's somebody that in their purpose is to come against you. That's why sometimes we see in the Bible, especially when Peter says to Jesus, no, they're not going to crucify you. What's he say? Get behind me, adversary. Our word is Satan. The first time I read that, when Jesus told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." What? It's like, Satan? Yeah, because he was blocking God's will. God's will was for Jesus to hang on the cross for you and I. The Easy Read version says, "Wear the full armor of God, wear God's armor so that you can fight against the devil's clever tricks." Wily. How many know that we need to realize that there is an enemy out there that wants to steal, kill, and destroy? He wants to kill the will of God in your life. He wants to steal the promises that he's given to you because you're going to believe a lie. And he wants to destroy you completely. But how many know that he's not the victor? Christ is the victor. If we submit our hearts and our lives to Jesus, guess what? We're the victor. That's why we can declare wildly, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. All right. Let's look at this word in the Greek. It's methodia. The word is a root word, the English word, where we get the word method. The method of doing something. And so this is a well-crafted trickery. This is a properly predictable preset. I like that it said it's properly predictable. What does that tell me? It tells me that he only has so much of a game plan that he can use. That if we can know the way that the devil works, we can see him in advance and say, "Nope, I'm not receiving this. I'm going to continue to remain in Christ, not believe your lie, and stand strong, stand firm." Method used in organized evil doing. So in Ephesians 4:14, we see this word used, and it says, this is at the very beginning of this, it says that he's given us apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the fullness of Christ. And then it says here that we should no longer be children. So all of those things have been given up to us, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, so that we could be equipped in Christ, so that we don't get tossed around with every wind of doctrine and carried about with the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That's that word right there, methodia, deceitful plotting. So know, and we'll see, that we have to be on our guard. That's why it says, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it proceeds what? Anybody help me? Issues of life. What does that mean? The things that are important, the things that result in life itself. Life and godliness. All right. So I want to talk about these ideas that we don't have to be subdued by the enemy. We don't have to be tricked by the enemy. Paul in 2 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11 says this, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, there's a man who's doing things he shouldn't do. He's actually married his father's wife. So it sounds like the father is still alive, and it's definitely wrong. And the church was almost like saying, oh, see the grace of God, we can do anything. And Paul said, no, that's not the case. You can't do anything. And he told them to put the one out. Have you heard the word excommunicate? They excommunicated him. And so this is about the restoration in the second Corinthians of that man. And Paul saying, yes, he's repented. We want to receive him back. You know, you guys followed through with what I said to do. And he actually says that he was checking and seeing if they would follow through with this, hang on a second here, with this request to excommunicate him. And then he says, but I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Even though he wasn't with them, he forgave him. Then he says this, lest Satan should take advantage of us. What does it say about forgiveness? Do you guys remember? That if you don't forgive, what ends up happening to you? You end up in prison. That was the illustration that Jesus used. He gave an illustration of a person who was forgiven millions of dollars, and he wouldn't forgive this one who owed him, you know, $100. And the person that forgave him the $1 million heard that he had thrown in jail the person who wouldn't pay him back $100. So the person who forgave him, which was the Lord, said, you wicked servant, you wouldn't forgive. I forgave you millions. You wouldn't forgive $100. And so he ended up in prison. So when we don't forgive, we end up in prison. And it says that the enemy takes advantage of us in unforgiveness. Yeah. So what does this mean? This means that if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you're opening the door for the enemy to have the ability to take advantage of you. It's a scary word. It is, because it means that we have got to keep our heart pure and clean before God. For we are not ignorant of his devices. I like that part. We are not ignorant. And I would say you are not ignorant of his devices. Why? You say, well, Pastor, you're preaching the sermon. I don't know where you're coming from with all this, and you've got all the scriptures, so how would I not be ignorant of his devices? Because you have the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You have the Spirit of truth. So the same Spirit that's in me right now and allows me to communicate these truths, which are in his word, the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to know them, even without me preaching them to you. Yeah. I mean, the Bible has the audacity to say in 1 John that you don't even need anybody to teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. Then why do I come to church? Well, you come to church to bring the Lord with you and us gather together and have a congregation of faith and then see God move in our hearts in a significant way and to worship the one that gave his all for us. That's why we come to church. But while you're here, I'm going to try to communicate these truths to you the best I can, maybe awaken what the Holy Spirit's doing. But if you open your heart to the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth. Lead and guide me into all truth. He will.
Yeah.
And he will gladly do it. And you'll share on Sunday, wow, the Lord showed this to me this week. And we'll say, yes, amen. And it may be something even new to me. Yeah. Well, how could that happen? It's the Holy Spirit. Okay. Don't get me on the Holy Spirit. I'll go down a chain. 2 Corinthians. Now, this is a key. This is the key, I believe, from getting to keeping the enemy from being able to deceitfully and cunningly deceive you. This is it. Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. This is 2 Corinthians again. This is chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. Gabe was talking about how the Lord's jealous. Paul was jealous for them. Why? Because they had been believing things that weren't truth. They had been told by others things that they needed to do to be saved when it wasn't necessary. And they were putting yokes upon themselves. Yokes, what are yokes? Yokes are no yoke, I'm telling you. Yokes are something that you've been attached to something, and it keeps you from moving freely. Have anybody ever seen oxen hooked on a yoke? They can only go so far. The only person that I want to be yoked to is Christ. And then he can lead me where he wants to go. But I don't want to be yoked to anything of the enemy. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. Kind of in the same realm of deceitful plotting. Not the exact same word, but it has the same type of meaning. So your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, I'm here to tell you, if someone comes to you and they make it so difficult for you to walk with God, to follow all of these rules and things, it's not the truth. There's a simplicity in Christ. Amen. And the simplicity is yielding your heart, yielding your life, letting Holy Spirit lead you, listening to others that God has entrusted in your life, and you realize that they have your best will, intention, that they're not just, you know, they don't want to just govern you and control what you do, but they really care about what God's doing in your life, and they want to see you to become all that you can be in Christ, even if it's more greater than them. They're not afraid of you outgrowing them. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not afraid of one person in here outgrowing me. I pray that you would. I pray that someone would come up here on Sunday and say, Pastor, I've been seeking God this week, and he gave me a word for the body. And I'd say, praise God. I'm telling you, if people would apply themselves, we would have a New Testament church where there would be psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and you would have a word, and you would have a word. And that's the body of Christ. It was never meant for an expositor to just sit up front and bark at people. It was meant for a body to be edifying one another in love, but also giving and back and forth with information, prophecies, all kinds of things. I've seen a little bit of that, but I believe in these coming days, God wants to do something new in our midst. There's a simplicity in Christ that you have to realize. That if we start trying to put more even on ourselves than what God wants us to, we're weighing ourselves down with then giving the ability of the enemy to deceitfully trick us. We need to remain like, I mean, that's what he says about like little children. Is that not simple? A little kid? What's it say? You have to be like a little kid to do what? Anybody know? Enter the kingdom of God. You don't have to be like a little kid to go to church. But it wouldn't hurt us to be a little more free, carefree in our times with the Lord. Now, I don't want people to just come here and then act carefree, but that's not the way they are at home. Don't do that. Start being carefree at home. You know, if you have to, start spinning a little bit. I mean, I'm telling you that there's something about getting a childlike heart. Not to the place where you're just, you know, you're naive, because we're going to have, that's not what it means. It means a total reliance on God, a total infatuation with God, a total like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, this is amazing. I have God in my life. And start really thinking about that and what it means to have God in your life. And like, wow, this is something to be excited about. This is something to treasure. This is something to share with others. You ever been around kids like when they got candy and it's like they've slobbered all over it and they, you want some? I mean, they want to share that nastiness with you. I take it sometimes like, thank you. You know, the point is they want to give away what they have. Do you think it might be easier to win people if we were just excited about Jesus and not so religious? That's why we sing that song. Simple gospel. All right. Simplicity, right there. There it is. When you sang that song, you said, oh, there it is, right there. Genesis 3. We're going all the way back to the beginning. Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. How are we doing? Good. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor you shall touch it, lest you die. Now I've heard some say, and it's recorded in the word, that she added, nor you shall touch it. I don't know if Adam and Eve heard another, like, addendum to what we hear in the word, but she's telling the enemy, as far as they knew, they didn't want to get very close to that tree. For whatever reason. Sounds like they had a godly fear that God had put in them. The enemy says this, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. One thing about the enemy is if you don't know the truth, he will use parts of truth to deceive you. That's why we need to know the truth experientially, not just because somebody told us. What does experientially mean? It means you've lived it out. It means you've taken and applied the word to your life and you've walked it out. I like to say that you let the word become flesh in you, literally. It becomes flesh and bones in you. So he's telling them, no, you're not going to die. God knows that when you eat it, your eyes are going to be open, which they would be, right? Our eyes were opened. And I don't know about being like God, though. I think that's where the deception lied. They already were like God. Now, see, you're taking my thunder. That's true. Yeah. Knowing good and evil. That's exactly right. You will be like God. They were. They were made in his image. What did it say in Corinthians? Let's read it here again. It says here, oh, that's Genesis again. It says here, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted. Her mind was corrupted from the simplicity of just being a child of God, being in the garden with God. Can't be that easy. Yeah. So it says here, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. So this is the fall of mankind, folks. And it came from three temptations that are in the devil's craftiness. And we'll see it in a second. It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You see it right there. Good for food. What is that? Lust of the flesh. Oh, this is going to be good. Pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and to make one wise. Pride of life, they're all three there. That's his M.O. It's right here. This is it. So if you've got something that's alluring you in your flesh, that's his M.O. If you've got something that's tempting you with your eyes, that's his M.O. If you've got something that's making you feel proud, like, oh, man, I'm that stuff. I'm all that in a bag of chips. You know, if you're thinking that way, you're in his kingdom. You're in his dominion. You're getting ready to be tripped up. Just as Eve was. From the simplicity that's in Christ. Okay, 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Isn't that amazing how it relates to all that's in the world. Yeah. All that's in the world. Now, we know that God is the God over everything, right? But do you know what he's called? He's called the Prince of the Power of the Air and the God of this world. He runs the hearts of all the people who don't know Christ yet. And unfortunately, he runs the hearts of some that do know Christ but have yielded over to his ways. It says in one part in the scriptures, it says that if the time wasn't shortened, it could even deceive even the elect. And to me, the elect is the people who are called by him, who have relationship with him, the ones that are chosen by him. So the enemy has power, but he doesn't have the power that Christ has. He doesn't have the power that the Holy Spirit has. But the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. What does it mean to do the will of God? It means to walk in what pleases him. Yeah. It's not like some mystery. The perfect will of God is known by us renewing our mind, it says. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, I'll start in verse 1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. And what? Be renewed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? Renewing of your mind. What are we doing here today? We're renewing our mind. So what happens if we renew our mind? It says that you may be able to prove or understand or know for sure what is the good and acceptable will of God. So if we renew our minds, we are going to be in the will of God. Amen. Now, it may not be the kind of will like what you're going to go, you know, have for breakfast today. Okay, what's God want me to have for breakfast today? You don't need to do that. He's given you a reasoning. He's given you logic. And you know, whether to buy a new house, you might want to say, Lord, is this a good time to buy a new house? Or changing jobs. Lord, is this a good time to change jobs? But really, the true will is, how do I live a life for God? You're going to know if you renew your mind. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So, this is telling us to be sober. Doesn't mean just alcohol, staying away from alcohol. It means a mind that's clear. A mind that's not hazy, a mind that's not so distracted that it can't think straight. Have you ever had so many things coming at you at once, and all of a sudden you're having to make a decision about something? It's like, oh, I don't even know how to make that decision because I have all these things coming at me. That's not being sober-minded. Sober-minded is, okay, clear the mechanism. What is going on here? And taking a moment and being sober, what's the word I want to use? Well, there's another word that's in another part of the Bible, and it's circumspectly. It's like careful. Being watchful. But being vigilant as well. Be vigilant. Vigilant is kind of a radical word. Somebody's vigil, they're like ready to fight. They're like ready to put up their guard. They're not just, you know, taking the day as it goes. Oh, it's just a beautiful day, and I don't even know where I'm at, or walking. How about this? Is this vigilant?
No.
I've seen videos where someone's doing this, and the next thing you know, they're toppled over, and they're in like some kind of koi pond or something like that. That's not being vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, there is nobody in the world that's not having to deal with Satan. There's nobody that's not having to deal with his attacks. There's nobody in the world that has everything all together. So be encouraged in that. But know that if you hold fast to the faith, what is the faith? Faith in Christ. Faith in this work of the cross. It's a finished work. It's a finished work. What does that mean? Well, that means that you need to receive the finished work to walk in it. Even though it's finished, it's not completed in us. See, when Jesus says, "It is finished," just before he gave up his breath, "It is finished, Lord." What did he mean by that? Well, his work on this earth was finished. But also, his work in our life would be finished. It wasn't just that Jesus was done here. He was done in us. He finished something in us. So what do? We embrace the finished work of the cross. We say, "Lord, you finished the work on the cross. You did it. Now I receive it. I receive what you did. And now I choose to walk vigilantly, soberly, resisting the devil. And I'm going to walk in that faith of what you did. And I'm going to see you work in my life." Amen. That's what faith is. It's not like something that we see the results before we get it. If you're a Christian and you're waiting, "Boy, once I see some results, I'll start walking in these, I'll start praying, I'll start doing all these things. Once the devil gets off my back," it doesn't work that way. You start walking in the truth, in the light, and then he gets off your back. But if you think you're going to get everything all clear someday so you can finally, it's like people say, "Hey, once I get $1 million, I'm going to tithe 10%, Well, the principle of tithing isn't about how much you have. It's about how much you're willing to give back to God in what he's already gave you. It's not about you sitting there and following some rules and regulation. It's about love. It's a love relationship. I tell people, I said, if you're not in love with Jesus, then don't let somebody put a yoke on you of giving to him when your heart's not into it. It's like Eric, if someone said, "Tell Nancy you love her." Well, I mean, you would do it, but it's like, no, I want to tell Nancy I love her. I don't want somebody to have to tell me I love Nancy, or Nancy, vice versa. What's that? Oh, okay. You don't tell her on Valentine's Day?
I don't celebrate.
Oh, you don't celebrate Valentine's Day. Oh, for that reason.
I don't need a name.
Oh, dude. He's like hardcore. He doesn't celebrate Valentine's Day because he doesn't want somebody to tell him that he has to love his wife.
Does she celebrate Valentine's Day?
No, they don't. They do something as a family. They love each other as a family. I remember that.
365 days a year is Valentine's Day for us.
Come on. Okay, that's radical. That's good. But the point being is that we should not have somebody force us to say that we love God. We should love him freely. He wants a cheerful giver, whether it's money, whether it's time, whether it's devotion. You should have somebody encourage you, because it's better for you if you love him. It's better for you if you give up your life and give it to him, because he has a way of taking what we give him and multiplying it and lavishing it back on us. Like, "Oh man, I don't even deserve this." He says, "Yeah, you don't, but you know what? I love you, so I'm going to give it to you. You haven't earned it. You don't deserve it, but I love you." We can say that about our kids sometimes. Sometimes they don't deserve it, do they? And they certainly haven't earned it. But you know what? We love them. We want to lavish our love on them. We want to bless them, because they're a gift from God. Amen? Amen, Caden? Amen. Final verse. This is James 4, 5 through 8. "Or do you think that the scripture says, 'In vain the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy'?" Doesn't that sound familiar? The spirit yearns jealousy for us. There is a desire of God to have all of us. Now, will he twist our arm to get it? No, he wants it freely. But it does yearn jealously for us. "But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, 'God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.'" There's another key right there. It's going to be a lot easier to notice when the enemy's trying to lead us into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, if we're humble. Seems like when we're proud, when we've got all of it together, we're more open to be tricked. I was talking to Patrick, and we know many men of God that did powerful works, mighty works, reached hundreds and thousands of people, and yet the enemy still got them and took them out. Why? Because I believe they get to a place where humility is not the forefront. They start looking at what God has done through them, or sometimes they've done, and they start thinking that they've got it together. Or they get to the place where they're an island and they can't share anything with anybody. And there's no submission. There's no confessing one to another that the prayer could heal someone. So I tell everyone, make sure that you're never at the place where you think you've got it all together and you don't need to share anything that the devil's trying to tempt you with. His lies, his deceptions can get all of us. Don't think any of us are too arrived to not be tricked by him. Why? Why do I say that? I say that because we need to be sober and vigilant. And then it says this, therefore submit to God. That's the key right there. That's humility. Lord, I can't do this on my own. Lord, I can't walk this walk on my own. I can't. I've been walking this walk a lot of years, but I'm telling you, I cannot continue to walk this walk on my own. I need him. I need him every hour of every day. I need him to fill me to the place where his love flows through me all the time, so that I exhibit the character and nature of Christ. And then once we submit to God, we resist the devil. That means we're going to say no to his temptation of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. We're saying no to him. We're going to let the Holy Spirit point those out. Well, son, that's the lust of the flesh that's trying to rise up in you right now. Why don't you just resist this in Jesus' name? Then it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. This is a principle. If you draw closer to God, he will draw near to you. I know there's some folks in here that have been kind of reawakened to the things of God. And you're being drawn near to him. You're drawing near to him. Guess what? He's drawing near to you right now. He's filling your life with more of him. Even though he was there, but now you're more aware of more of him. It's like, oh my goodness, I forgot how good it is to be in the presence of God. I forgot how good it is to have him filling my heart with peace, filling my heart with joy, filling my heart with all of the goodness that he has towards me. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So if we believe we're equipped for war, which I'm telling you we are, we looked at the very first introduction that we're to fight the good fight of faith, we're to do these things that allow supernatural things to take place, where he does above and beyond all we could ask or think. Because he can. He can do above any of your prayers. He can exceed them. And that could mean that you're going to walk in a greater level of victory, or you're going to be able to not get as mad as you used to get mad. I mean, it could be anything that God might do in you. But we're equipped for war. And the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty in God. We're pulling down strongholds. What are strongholds? Those are arguments. And usually those arguments have to do, again, with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are usually the roots. I mean, we're not ignorant of his ways. Those are his ways. We saw it work down in Eve. He tried to work the same thing in Jesus. Hey, Jesus, you're hungry. Turn this rock into bread. Which one is that? Can anybody tell me? What would that be? Lust of the flesh. Yep. And then what happens next? He goes... In some of the different gospels, they put him in a different order, but takes him to the temple, puts him on the edge of the temple, and says, hey, if you're the Son of God, you can cast yourself down. And it says that the angels will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus said, depart, Nope. It says that you shall not tempt the Lord your God. What was he trying to get Jesus to go with there? The pride of life. If you're the Son of God, you can cast yourself down. You're not even going to get hurt. Don't test God. Then the final one shows him all the treasure. Shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Everything. All of this will be yours if you just bow down and worship me. That's when he says, depart from me, Satan. But the point being, it was again the lust of the eyes. So see, he only has three things he can do. So if you can get to the place where Holy Spirit awakens you when you're starting to go down those trails, guess what? You can submit to God. You'll be able to resist the devil. And what's it saying? He has to flee. Yeah. To me, that's victory. To me, that's overcoming power. But we cannot rely on our own strength. We have to be humble. And you know what? I believe if we, as a body of believers, if we as families walk in these truths, the warfare that we will be lives changed around us. That the kingdom of God will expand in Yakima, like we declare all the time, by people being transformed. And we will play a part in it. Not just from, you know, getting somebody to confess Jesus, but literally to have them want to receive what we have. It is a lot better that way. When people see, oh man, you've got something. You live a certain way. You shine bright with the glory of God. Can I have that too? Yes, you can. It's freely available to everyone, and here's how you get it. What a way to lead people to Christ. You know what? They're in then. It's not like they just confess and then I go, what did I do? We used to do what was called the vision here, and we had people that would confess Christ, and they would say, yes, I agree. I want to be saved. But then 2 weeks later, the devil starts messing with them and they run away. They say, my life was better before I even tried to attempt Jesus. And we know that that's part of those seeds. But I believe the ones who come and God's prepared their heart and they're ready for what we have, they're in. That's good ground. Amen. Do you have a song? I could tell you which one, but I think I know which one you'll do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that you are the one that helps us to resist the enemy. You're the one that gives us the power. When we submit to you, Lord, you're the one that gives us the ability to live a successful Christian life. To be believing believers. Believers who believe what the Word of God says and live what the Word of God says. Lord, I thank you that you have given us in your word his plans and his schemes and the way that he can trick us so that we can watch out for what they will be in our lives. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, for each one of us, that you'd make us even more aware when we're being drawn away by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Lord, let your perfect will, your perfect work be done in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us everything that we need for this life, for the natural and for our godly life in you. And so right now, I just release over everyone that's here and everyone that hears my voice, Lord, the ability to receive truth and truth that they can live out that will make them free. Because, Lord, if you set us free, we will be free indeed. Nothing by any means of the enemy will be able to harm us or keep your will from happening in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Strong in
Let him have your heart. Let him have it all. And you will be amazed at what he will do in your life. I can speak from experience. You may go through things, but I'm telling you what, with God in your life, you will come in at the end on top. It may not look in the natural that way, but in your spirit, in your life, you will know that you are above the circumstances and not beneath them. Because God is able to do what no man can do. Amen? All right, I hope to see everyone tonight downstairs in the fellowship hall, 5 o'clock. We're going to have a great meal and then communion together. And it is one of the most amazing times that we have here at One Life. So I really encourage you to come and bring somebody, okay? Praise the Lord. Have a great day. Love you.